And it is, well, approximately that time. Joined this morning in the studio by Fireman Kenny. Good morning.
Well, good morning, Rick. KMG 365, Fireman Kenny is on the air, helping you to stay safe in a world where danger never takes a vacation. As always, I've got my monthly shout-outs, and as everybody might or might not know, it is National Police Week, so just want to give a shout-out to all of our fellow brothers in blue, the police officers at the West Bend Police Department, our brothers in brown, the deputies at the Washington County Sheriff's Department, as well as all other law enforcement agencies. So happy National Police Week to our police officers out there. And as a firefighter, I realize, you know, God created firefighters so that police officers had heroes. So I'm glad you look up to us. Thank you very much. So happy National Police Week to all our police officers out there. I also want to give out to Sam Nolan, RN of Fredert Health, Julie Hefter of the Association of Aquatic Professionals, and former Wisconsin State Fire Marshal Mike Rint, currently of Acuity Insurance, for their radio interviews on WIBD this month. Those three were able to talk about Stroke Awareness Month, Water Safety Month, and Arson Awareness Week in the Community Conversation segments. Battalion Chief Tom Thrash joined Sam Nolan in the studio during her interview. So just want to thank them just because I have a lot of things to cover. I really only have time to be on once a month. These are important for either fire prevention or injury prevention. And so they really have taken the time to help out me as well as promote the stuff that they're very passionate about. A couple other people to thank, Chief Billy Goldfeder of the Loveland Sims Fire Department in Ohio and Chief Joe Nitter of the South Milwaukee Fire Department. Chief Goldfeder is a renowned national speaker who presented at the Badger Firefighters Association training at West Bend Mutual Insurance on Saturday, April 27th. Chief Nitter spoke on fire service leadership at the Badger Firefighters Association meeting in Random Lake on Sunday, April 28th. So thanks to them for promotion of fire service leadership, really helping out and really stepping up to make better firefighters. And also North Shore Fire Department Fire Marshal Matt Mertens. He presented on bidirectional amplifiers and fire alarm communications equipment at the Richfield Fire Department Station 2 on May 8th for the Wisconsin State Fire Inspectors Association Area 6 chapter meeting. Now we go to our shortest segment, as always. Any fan mail this week?
Don't see any.
No, that's really very sad. It's bringing a tear to my eye.
Now, I encouraged Chief Thrash to send something, and apparently he got busy. And you know,
he thanks me from time to time. So, you know, but yeah.
I was kind of hoping, but you know.
Well, I guess that celebrity status is flushed right down the toilet, I guess. So we'll have to work on that. And okay, so now moving on to monthly sprinkler saves. So also known as fires you've never heard about, because there's no news in something that was stopped from happening. And as I've pointed out, I'm an advocate of fire sprinkler systems and a dues paying member of the National Fire Sprinkler Association. You can follow the National Fire Sprinkler Association on Facebook, Twitter, and LinkedIn. Their website, www.nfsa.org. You can visit sprinklersaves.com to see the latest information on activated sprinklers that suppressed or controlled fires. So the first one on April 4th. The West Allis Fire Department responded to a call of a fire at the Incredi-Role Skate and Family Fun Center. When crews arrived, they found the remnants of a trash can in a storage room. The trash can fire was extinguished by a sprinkler system. On April 6th, the La Crosse Fire Department responded to the report of a fire at the Weber Center for Performing Arts. They found a small fire inside the garage door stage entrance. Firefighters removed a small plastic tote that was burning. Battalion Chief Jeff Schott said the building's sprinkler system mostly extinguished the fire. A center employee also used a fire extinguisher. And the last one, on April 17th, the Green Bay Fire Department was called to the report of a fire at a manufacturing facility on Radisson Street. Crews noticed smoke coming from the outside of the plant. The fire was contained to a dust collection unit on the roof and was contained by a built-in fire protection system.
Here's a question that just came to my mind with sprinklers. Are they... When you set them up, do they only cover X number of feet or one room or how does that work?
Yeah, it depends on how much pressure is on the system as well as the square footage. So, yeah, there you'll see if you go into a building and you'll go into a room and you'll see whether it is a sprinkler head that's hanging from the ceiling, a sprinkler head that's coming out of a wall. It's meant to protect a certain amount of square footage. Usually you'll have, depending on the size of the room, You know, anywhere from 2 to 4 sprinkler heads in an average size room. And larger rooms, you'll see them all over the place, like, let's say, a conference center or something like that, hotel rooms, that sort of thing. So, yeah, they're meant to cover a certain square footage. Hopefully, the one sprinkler head is usually the able to suppress a fire. However, like sometimes it might be in the middle of 2 sprinkler heads and they'll both activate. So what happens is enough heat gets up and either melts the fusible link or the glass tube will break. And then that opens up the sprinkler head and the water should flow right out of it and hopefully put that fire out pretty quickly.
But it's just, it depends on the individual. So if one goes, that doesn't mean the entire building, all of a sudden the sprinklers go off.
No, not like in Die Hard where he set off the sprinkler head and, yeah, and all of them go off. No, they're actually, well, so in a normal system, it's usually meant to either melt the fusible link or open up that glass bulb for the one closest sprinkler head where the heat melts it. There are systems, though, in, like, let's say, high hazard areas that will open up all of them, but those are usually hooked up to a fire alarm system. So the fire alarm will go off, activate the sprinkler system, and then the whole thing will go off depending on what's stored in there. So, like, for a high hazard occupancy, but those are pretty rare. Those are systems that are meant for specific types of occupancies. All the other ones will usually start with one sprinkler head. Hopefully one sprinkler head will suppress the fire. If the fire grows and it isn't suppressed, those other sprinkler heads will then go off as the glass bulbs break or the fusible links melt.
And sprinkler systems typically have water unless it's something specific like an Ansel system or something, right?
Right, yeah. And those are usually meant to protect like computer systems, electronics, that sort of thing. So yeah, those are specific systems, and otherwise all the sprinkler systems are going to have water in them. So they're coming in from the municipal system, depending on how high the building is, they may have a jockey pump that goes with it to put the water up and give more pressure to higher levels of the building.
Okay.
Yeah. So,
all right.
First thing we got to talk about this month, one of the most important things to the West Bend Fire Department, Emergency Medical Services Week is May 19th to the 25th. National Emergency Medical Services Week brings together local communities and medical personnel to publicize safety and honor the dedication of those who provide day-to-day life-saving services of medicine's front line. This information can be used throughout the year for public education and safety programs. For additional information, email emsweek@asep.org. So ASEP is the American College of Emergency Physicians. So the American College of Emergency Physicians, or ASEP, does this in partnership with the National Association of Emergency Medical Technicians, which is the NAEMT. 2019 theme is Beyond the Call. There's day themes for each day. So Monday is education. So whether it's education of those providers, so the EMTs, advanced EMTs or paramedics, advancing their education or providing education to the public. Tuesday is Safety Tuesday. So anything to promote safety, whether it's safety of those of us that are providing emergency medical services or the preventing things from happening. So talking about prevention all the time and safety of the things that people do day to day. Wednesday, Emergency Medical Services for Children Day. So all EMS instructors will sit there and tell their students, children are not just small adults. So children are physiologically different from adults until you reach the age, 12 through 14. Children just have different needs than adults do for medicine and emergencies. So learning how to treat children and learning that they're different physiologically is an important step for Wednesday for the Emergency Medical Services for Children's Day. Thursday, Save a Life, CPR and Stop the Bleed. That's National Stop the Bleed Day. And then Friday is the EMS Recognition Day. So throughout the country, that services will be recognized for their emergency medical services responses. As far as the West Bend Fire Department EMS is concerned, the West Bend Fire Department has been providing advanced life support emergency medical services since 1998, providing ambulance service since the 1970s. So, but we've been providing advanced life support for 21 years. It started with the EMT Intermediate I-99 program. So the West Bend Fire Department was one of the involved in the pilot program to see if the EMT Intermediate program was going to be viable. So the thing was, EMT intermediate, the I-99, there's very few things that are second best that are truly second best. The EMT I-99 program was truly second best. So everything that a paramedic does, the I-99s we were doing, it was what the paramedic skills and drugs that are used 90% of the time. So like, let's say, pain meds, we could only use one of them. So we used morphine at the time. And then now we've expanded with the paramedic program to have more pain meds. Cardiac meds, anything. We had a number of CPR saves during the I-99 program, and it's improved through the paramedic program. We've been providing paramedic service since 2007. All of our shift personnel are cross-trained dual role firefighter paramedics. So that means the lieutenants, the motor pump operators, and the firefighters cross-staff the fire apparatus and also go on the paramedic unit. So at each station, there's three people. If there's a fire call, all three hop on the fire engine and go to the fire. If there's an ambulance call, all three will hop on the paramedic unit and go to the ambulance call. Out of 4,252 responses in 2018, almost 90% were EMS related. So that includes 911, emergency and non-emergency ambulance calls, interfacility transfers. So we do hospital to hospital or hospital to the facility or home transfers. Paramedic intercepts, so we provide paramedic service to the surrounding fire departments, so whether it's Allenton, Newburgh, Jackson, or Keewaskum, or even some in Dodge and Sheboygan County, we'll provide two paramedics. We'll hop on an intercept vehicle and go assist those departments that are either basic or advanced EMT, and community paramedic visits. So we haven't done a lot of those this year, but last year, so if there's a St. Joseph's Hospital patient that's going to need follow-up care, we provide somebody that's going to go and make sure that that patient is, when they're released from the hospital and they're making sure they're compliant with their meds and compliant with any care instructions. Because one of the problems is these people get released from the hospital and then they end up back in the hospital within 30 days or 60 days. So we go and do those visits so that we can prevent more hospital readmissions.
Okay. I haven't looked at the numbers lately. You said 4,200 and some responses last year. Number continued to grow this year?
Yeah, we're on pace, just a little bit behind. So we're trying to figure out what we're down on, which is actually kind of a good thing because that means that people, like let's say out of those 4,252 calls, not all of them are true emergencies. But there are those things that we go and help with. So the numbers might be down just slightly just because of things that we've taught people. Like let's say obviously the community paramedic visits are down because we haven't been doing as many of those. Other things that may be happening that like let's say we were doing a lot of lift assists that we may not have as many people that are requiring those services. There's a lot of, like let's say there's streaks where we get people where we're doing lift assists almost a few times a week because they fall in their home and then they eventually either get help or they go to a nursing home or some other sort of assisted living facility. And so those numbers are down just a little bit. But again, we've been growing every year for over a 20-year period. So it might be a nice little break to not have to go to a lot of those calls, and that way we can get our other stuff done, as well as prevention activities, fire inspections, and any injury and illness prevention talks that we're doing. Why does advanced life support matter? So we provide advanced cardiac life support for heart attacks. So recognition of ST elevation and myocardial infarction. So that's just a fancy term. It's called a STEMI. Basically, it's a heart attack. So when you get a 12 lead, we're looking at the 12 lead. And if we see some spikes in some of the parts of the 12 lead, we can look at it and say, oh, yes, that's a heart attack. So what we're going to do is the West Bend Fire Department, as well as the New Berlin Fire Department, have direct transport to the cardiac cath lab at Fratert. So that saves time because it allows the heart muscle to be reperfused quicker and saves the patient an emergency room bill. So between if they're an Aurora patient, they're going to go to Grafton and we go through the ER right up to the cath lab. Same thing with getting right through Fratert. We bypass St. Joseph's Hospital, get a patient right to Fratert, get them up into the cath lab. They get the procedure done right away, open up those vessels. So saves heart time and saves money in the emergency room bill.
And probably saves lives because you're not circling around and all that extra
right.
stuff.
Well, and the thing is, like I talk about all the time, like let's say if somebody has a heart attack, and we'll talk percentages, and I'm just going to pull some percentages, not saying these are the numbers that actually work, but let's say we get somewhere, someone's having a heart attack, we take them to Frederick, and they save 93% of their heart. Versus if in the past where we had to stop at St. Joe's, wait, and then either before we were paramedics, somebody else had to transport them down to Frederick, or now that we are paramedic, we transport them down to Frederick. The difference between, and again, just numbers off the top, just making up numbers, but let's say 93% of your heart versus in the old way, saving only 87% of your heart. Well, what's the difference? That might be the difference between an 8-hour workday or only a 6-hour workday. That might be the difference of being able to play a short football game with your grandkids versus not being able to walk up a hill. So that saves a lot of time, improves a lot of productivity. So that's one of the services that we provide as advanced cardiac life support on our paramedic units. Cardiac arrest. So we have a number of people who no longer have a heartbeat. So we have a number of people that we've gone through and saved and gone on. They've led productive lives right after that. Some that I've talked about on the radio show before. So we have numerous saves with the defibrillator and cardiac medications. And some people ask me, why is that important? So we give, if you have no longer have a heartbeat and you're not breathing, everyone deserves the best efforts on what could be the last call of their life. So again, we've saved a lot of people, not just us, people in the public who have either performed CPR before we got there, used defibrillators before we got there. And then we've continued that, whether we got there and there was a pulse and heartbeat, or if there wasn't, and we continued with medications and shocks. So we just had a save recently. There was somebody who didn't have a heartbeat and wasn't breathing. They were in their truck on double N and P, and that person was brought back with the medications and shocks, taken to St. Joseph's Hospital, did a quick turnaround, and then took that person to Frederick. As of Friday, so this happened last week, Tuesday, as of last Friday, they were still in the hospital. We're going to wait and hear what that outcome is. And then as well as heart failure. So previous heart attack or what we call a heart dysrhythmia. So like atrial fibrillation or some other problem with their heart. So we have medications. We can do cardioversion and pacing. Basically, that's taking electricity and either taking that rapid heartbeat with cardioversion and bringing it down to a normal heartbeat or a slow heartbeat where we can use electricity and our defibrillator monitor to do a heartbeat and make that heartbeat at a normal rate. While it's on there. And then as well as pain medication. So for trauma, anybody that's experienced a broken bone knows how painful it is. So we can give pain medications as well as other things. So like, let's say in the medical field, kidney stones, migraines, or other abdominal issues, we can give pain medications for and breathing interventions. So any COPD, so such as asthma, emphysema, bronchitis, or even in cases where people are choking, we can handle stuff with breathing medications to make those patients breathe a lot easier and improve their outcomes.
Okay.
And then we move on to Home Fire Sprinkler Week. So again, we've talked about May is a busy month when it comes to these weeks
it
and
is.
Months. Yeah.
It
so
is.
Home Fire Sprinkler Week is also May 19th to the 25th. So the vast majority of fire deaths in North America happen at home. The time has come to bring attention to this problem and its solution. So modern construction materials and synthetic furnishings are creating home fires that burn faster than ever. Today, you may only have 1 to 2 minutes to safely escape a burning home after the smoke alarm signals. So cancer is one of the leading causes of firefighter deaths. Today's new homes place firefighters at increased risk of cancer, injury, and death. The fire dynamic inside today's homes and the toxins released by fire have created dangerous conditions for the fire service. Though sprinkler requirements exist, sprinkler opponents have used their political power to convince lawmakers to not adopt the requirements. I've used the example of the opponents of the sprinkler systems who wanted the laws changed to abandon the International Building Code in favor of an outdated statute. It says, see, Wisconsin Statute 101.144M that doesn't require sprinklers in apartment buildings with less than 20 units. There are also states that have bans on sprinkler requirements in place, making it against the law for a state to adopt the sprinkler requirement at either the state or local level.
Really?
Yeah, that's not in Wisconsin, but there are states that do that. Technically in Wisconsin, it sort of is, because there are rules against, like, let's say we talked about how the state statute versus other department rules and stuff. So the min-max rule. So there are some that can adopt it, but not all. So basically, Wisconsin sort of is, but not fully. It hasn't been challenged yet. So we'll see how well that works out, just the way the law is worded. But in other states, it strictly prohibits that.
Hmm.
According to the National Fire Protection Association, the NFPA, which again, I'm a card-carrying member of, 7 people die in home fires every day. Fire sprinklers save lives, prevent injuries, and protect our property. Home fire sprinklers are an important part of our community risk reduction work. That's why the West Bend Fire Department is participating in Home Fire Sprinkler Week. We hope that you will join us in spreading the word about home fire sprinkler systems.
Do you have any kind of cost estimate on if you're building a new home and you want to put a sprinkler system in? You have any idea what the cost is on that?
Yeah, I want to say, so Marty King from the National Fire Sprinkler Association is giving me this a number of times, but I can't remember the number off the top of my head. I want to say it's like 1.5 to 2% of the entire construction, the entire construction cost. So let's say it's 2% of building a, let's say you're building the home and the home construction costs like $250,000. So that's going to be about $5,000. If I did my math right.
Which could potentially save the entire $250,000 structure.
Not only save the structure, but save the lives in that structure.
Right.
So the problem, like I brought up, the problem is that everything we own, and I've talked about this a million times, everything we own is made of some sort of hydrocarbons, some sort of oil. So the cushions in your couch are basically just solid gasoline, and they burn hot, they burn fast. You don't have a lot of time. So let's say your couch starts on fire. Your smoke alarms go off. I talked about it earlier. You only have 1 to 2 minutes to get out. A sprinkler system is not only going to save you, save your home. And there might be some slight water damage, but wouldn't you rather have all the invaluable stuff? So we talked about the fire in Bayside. So Fox 6's Cassidy Williams lost everything. She's not even from Wisconsin, and she lost everything. Luckily, the community has stepped up and helped her out. But she knows what it's like to have lost everything. They did find her grandmother's necklace, but other than that, she lost all her possessions. And think about all the things that are in your house that are irreplaceable. So whether it's pictures or some sort of mementos, all the things that you may not have, like let's say in a locked file cabinet that's fireproof. So like let's say the titles to your cars, the title and deed to your house, all those things that you have to will spend time to replace. Wouldn't it be just better to have a sprinkler system in your home, in your apartment building, to try and save that thing? And I talked about it last month, wouldn't you sacrifice the countertops, like let's say the granite countertops, because you're going to redo your kitchen in 10 years anyway, so you might as well sacrifice the countertops on the build and then put them in later, save up for them later, because building's expensive. I know a lot of people have built homes and it gets expensive. Why not protect your biggest investment?
Right.
And last part of it, so Wildfire Awareness Month. So again, May, so busy with everything that we've got. According to the National Fire Protection Association, wildfires across the United States have cost more than 100 lives and more than $25 billion, that's $25 billion with a B, in property losses in the last 2 years. That's why it's so important to take steps to improve the wildfire safety of your home and community. As many of our Facebook followers know, the West Bend Fire Department responded to several wildland fires last month. On Saturday, April 20th, the fire crews responded to a grass fire in the area of Quas Drive in the town of West Bend. The fire consumed approximately 2 acres of land and took about 2 hours from time of call until the last unit was back in quarters to suppress. And on Easter Sunday, April 21st, approximately 50 acres of land was burned in the town of Barton. That fire took about 3.5 hours to control from start to finish and required the help of the Kewaskum Fire Department. So we'd like to thank Kewaskum Fire Department for sending their ATV to help us out with that.
Either of these fires cause?
Don't know the causes yet. I think they were investigating it. I didn't see it in the reports, so don't know what the causes were at this point. So probably mice playing with matches, possibly. Yeah, you know that happens. And
Right. Yeah, and okay. All right.
Yeah, so here we got some project ideas to help reduce the incidence of wildfires. So rake and remove pine needles and dry leaves within a minimum of 3 to 5 feet of a home's foundation. As time permits, continue up to a 30-foot distance around the home. Dispose of collected debris in appropriate trash receptacles.
Yeah, don't burn it.
No, don't burn it. Yeah, that's usually bad. Move wood piles at least 30 feet from the structures. Screen or box in areas below patios and decks with wire screening no larger than 1/8-inch mesh to help keep embers out during a fire. Sweep porches and decks, clearing them of leaves and pine needles. Rake under decks, porches, sheds, and play structures. Dispose of that debris. On mature trees, use hand pruners and loppers to remove low-hanging tree branches up to a height of 4 feet from the ground. Specific height depends on the type and size of a tree. Collect down tree limbs and broken branches and take them to a disposal site.
Again, don't burn them.
Right, don't burn them. You know, don't burn everything because that spreads the embers. And usually what you're trying to reduce a fire, then you start a fire that's usually frowned upon.
Yeah.
Remove items stored under decks and porches and relocate them to a storage shed, garage, or basement. Gasoline cans and portable propane tanks should never be stored indoors and should be located away from the home. Create a family communication plan or build or update a 72-hour evacuation kit for you, your family, and your pets. And locate two alternate routes out of your neighborhood beside the ones normally used. Plan and practice a family evacuation drill using those secondary routes.
All right. And I just reposted something. I don't remember if it was from you or somebody else on the Facebook page about, I think it was from Ready, Wisconsin, about just emergency contact information, stuff you should have with you. So that if you do have to get out of the house quick, you've got the number to get a hold of Aunt Edna just to let her know that you're okay.
Right, yeah. And the not only the phone numbers, but emails or whatever. As long as social media is working, social media is a great way to let people know you're safe, checking in. Having all that contact info so that people know you're safe, so people are not worried about trying to get a hold of you and know that you're safe.
Well, and make sure you've got the information. I mean, how many numbers... phone numbers do you remember anymore? We've all got them programmed in our phone.
Right. There's only like four that I remember. And that's because those people still have the same numbers that when I had my flip phone. So, yeah,
right.
Right.
Yeah. But yeah, but otherwise, hey, you know, we don't remember phone numbers.
No. So you gotta have those available, have your phone ready and available so you don't lose it. Have those numbers backed up somewhere. Usually those phone numbers are backed up in the cloud. So if you do lose your phone, you can at least somehow retrieve them. But always try to have those available, have them backed up somewhere like in a phone book or a personal planner or something like that and ready retrievable in your 72-hour evacuation kit.
Right.
All right. So we've got an upcoming event. So the Red Cross Sound the Alarm campaign is coming to West Bend. Red Cross volunteers and the West Bend Fire Department will be canvassing some of the neighborhoods and going door to door, installing smoke alarms in residents on Tuesday, May 21st from 4:30 to 7 p.m. So I will be out. Maybe I'll even have some 8x10 glossies to sign. So you can have my autograph.
There we go. Yeah.
Yeah. So we'll be out and about Tuesday, May 21st from 4:30 p.m. to 7 p.m. West Bend Fire Department personnel and Red Cross volunteers will be out installing smoke alarms in homes that don't have them or replacing smoke alarms that are older than 10 years old. And then for rest of May, National Boating Safety Week is May 18th to the 24th. And then coming up in June, so here's things we got to cover in June, National Safety Month, Alzheimer's and Brain Awareness Month, PTSD Awareness Month, World Heart Rhythm Week is June 3rd to the 9th, Lightning Safety Awareness Week is June 23rd to the 29th, and World Blood Donor Day is June 19th.
Adding on to that, saw a release this morning from the Red Cross. They are in dire need of type O blood. There is a shortage at this point.
So. Yeah, you were talking about that at, just before I got here. So if you are a blood donor or would like to be a blood donor, you can go to a blood donor site, especially if you are O negative, which is the universal donor. Please give, because especially as we come into the summer months, there's a greater need for blood. Trauma happens all the time when people are outside. We've got, I think we talked about Motorcycle Safety Awareness Week, that motorcycle accidents are up every year. People are just not paying attention. So there's always a need for blood. So if you are a blood donor, either look for the community blood drives or go to one of the local blood donor sites.
Right. And again, the reason they want type O is because that's the universal donor. And that's the one that they'll give you right away if they don't have time to test and see whether you're A or B or AB or whatever. Right,
right. Because the O negative, anybody can receive O negative blood. And if you end up with the wrong blood type, it can be very bad.
Right.
So all you O negative donors out there, I salute you, because I know a lot of people who are O negative. Well, not a lot, but because you're a pretty rare breed, you O negatives. So if you are an O negative donor, just always... I salute you, and go ahead and try to get more blood to give somewhere.
And one last community note on as far as the police, Sheriff Marty Schulteis is going to be in on Thursday morning. We're going to talk about the law enforcement memorial ceremony that's coming up at Fair Park on Thursday evening.
Perfect. Yeah. So that'll be good. Marty's always good to have on the show. He's a very personal guy. And it's always good to have him as sheriff and have him come into WIBD.
There we are. And again, another morning with Fireman Kenny here on 101.3 WIBD AM 1470 Community Conversation. Thank you so much.
No problem. Thanks for having me again, Rick.
We'll see you next month.
Yep.